Night and next Lord's Day evening are my two last evening sermons before I go off on holiday. And then James will take us our next section of Habakkuk, which is great. So because we've come away from John's Gospel till after the summer break, we're going to do a couple of sort of systematic theology evenings. Tonight we're looking at the immutability of God. And because there are lots of references I'm going to make, I've done a handout sheet, which Sandra, if you haven't got one already, stick your hand up and Sandra will bring you one. Because there are lots of references which I'm just going to read out from my notes. But if you would like to have a copy to read along with me, then that would be helpful if you have yours. So tonight we're looking at the immutability of God. I'm not quite sure what we're doing next week. I'll have to see how I get on this week. I'm thinking of a particular aspect of God's attribute, but you'll find out what that is next Lord's Day evening. So James chapter 1, let's read from verse 1 to 18. Let's listen again to the Word of God tonight. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation. Because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or change, shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Lord, we thank you for your word to us tonight. We bless you, Father, that we have your glorious scriptures before us, your infallible truth. And we pray, Lord, as we look at it tonight, that you will indeed meet with us and show us your glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. We live in a change, full of variation, full of changing. The seasons of the year change throughout it. Terms and conditions change on your phone. Agree to them, and when you do agree, later you have to agree to more change terms and conditions. Why? The manufacturer has thought about it more, and they've reflected on what they said the last time, and now they want to increase that you agree to if you want to use their product. Music. The 80s music is very different, arguably much better. Today's music. Conditions change with time. I understand neon colors are in for 2019, as are white jeans, as are fabric which is crocheted, as are jumpsuits, new fashions for 2019, the color yellow as well. Only one person is. Fashions change. Our high streets change. Our streets down as more and more people buy online. Biker itself has changed. We have on our coffee table, we have a book of biker in the old days, and there's pictures in there of what biker used to look like before the war. Rows of all of those sorts of things show us proof of a changing society. Over time, we tend to grow. Maybe a bit slimmer. Change over. Or stronger, or wiser. Become weaker. We become slower. We become deafer. And of course, the concept of morality has changed over time. If you follow the moral climate in decades, attitudes have changed. People's attitudes have changed concerning sex, concerning marriage, concerning drugs, so forth. Even changed most modern the principles of Christianity, so that now days, what was historically set in stone as being unchanging is not questioned by a new changing church. A new threat to what it wants to do, the direction around us in everything that there is change. As the hymn by Henry Light tells us, change and decay. I see, except for God. God never changes. God is perpetually the same. He is immutable. And if we were wanting to define the immutability or the unchangeableness of God, we could say how God is unchanging in his being, in his perfections or his attributes, in his purpose. Promises. When we think about that sort of statement, what we're saying is that nothing can be added to God and nothing can be taken away from him. Can never improve. If you think about that, if God could somehow change for the better, then he wasn't the best we first trusted in him. And of course, if we look at the reverse of that, if God could change for the worse, then what if, rather than him being wholly good, what if he just became just a little? Do you want to spend eternity with a God who was just a little bit evil? Could he then become even more evil if he could change for the worse? Even wholly evil, would you want to spend eternity in him? With such a changeable God. No, we can praise God this evening. We can praise God this evening. As James writes, every good gift, perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights, with shadow due to change. And that's why Scripture describes the Lord to us as like a rock. As something unmovable, something unaffected by whatever else is going on around it. We used to live up in Northumberland, and every now and again we'd go across to the Holy Island, and there on that island there is what's called Lindisfarne Castle. The castle was built in 1550 on a hill of whinstone. Now, apparently, whinstone known as a very hard rock. So prominent on the skyline, it looks like everything around it has been washed away by the sea. Rock remains intact. It remains seemingly unmovable. Hence the psalmist writes in Psalm 18, is my rock, my fortress. God, my rock, whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. But whilst even that rock, Windstone Rock, on it will change with weathering, whilst it will to some measure reduce and change with time as the sea spray hits it and the wind blows against it, it will never change. Even in a minuscule way, the Lord just does not change. Psalm 102, verse 25, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment, even that rock on Holy Island. You will change them like a robe and they will pass away, but you are the same and your years have no end. That same description of Jehovah, of the Lord, in Psalm 102 is by the writer of Hebrews, chapter 1, where there he argues for the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How does he use it? Probably for mutability is because of his eternality. Eternality. God is eternal. Change logically requires time. It was this, whatever it is you were talking about here, it was as that then, but now, at this new point in time, it's now in state. It has changed to thou. Requires time, however short it is we're talking about, however long we're talking about, it still requires time. But God is eternal. God has no beginning. God has no end. Outside of all the of time within in which we live by. As God, as an eternal being, God does not change. God is, as he calls himself in Exodus 3, I am the I am. He is self-existing. He is perfectly constant. He is absolutely John Gill, the Baptist preacher many a year ago, this, not only I am what I am at, but what I am, but I am, sorry, I am what I am at present, but I have been, and I am what I shall be, and I shall be what I am. I thought it did. But even my God will change. Even angels change. You see that changed. How Satan changed. Time after God had created him. Verse 12, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every was your covering and so forth. You were created. The stars were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. Placed you, God said. You were on the holy mountain of God in the midst of the stones. You were blessed till found in you. So even in those created celestial beings, even they will experience change. But in Hebrews 1, the writer there wanting to show the glory of God. He writes in Hebrews 1, verse 3, Christ, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. and he upholds the universe by his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, become as more superior to angels as the name he has inherited. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, I have begotten you," and so forth. In verse 8, though, he switches, but of the Son, God says, and then he lists various verses that show the preeminence of the eternal Son of God, the preeminence over created angels. And what he quotes is from Psalm 102, "You, Lord, you, Jesus Christ, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth at the beginning," and so forth. "Like a garment, they will be changed. But you," the "you" is Jesus. "You, the eternal Son of God, are the same, and your years will have no end." It's brilliant, really. That's why the writer later writes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as God, each of them are immutable. They are perpetually the same. But didn't Jesus change? Didn't Jesus change? Well, yes, he became what he was not. He became human. In his humanity, he changed, as we do in our humanity. Verses that describe his childhood, Luke chapter 2, verse 40, when the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And Jesus increased wisdom and in favor with God and man. Humanity, Jesus experienced what we experience in our humanity. He experienced change. But what does immutability mean? Well, first of all, God remains the same in his being, in his essence. In other words, in who God is, he never improves. God never improves. God is at the moment this evening. And he forever will be. God cannot change for better, since he's already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse. God is neither, nor is he. God is simply, he is. He is. God in Scripture, like in the parable of the prodigal son, and God is depicted there as an old man, a father running down through the streets, unimaginable to be running with his son and embrace his returning son. God has always been that throughout eternity. That is the heart of God. Or the picture of him having a towel around his waist and kneeling down to wash the other's feet. Again, God has always been that way throughout eternity. He does change. All that Scripture reveals God as to us, he's always been that way. And thankfully, he still is tonight. And he will be so tomorrow and next week. And for all eternity, God will be the same. His glory, his power, his knowledge, his wisdom, his might, his love never diminishes, nor does it ever increase. As he says of himself in Malachi 3, verse 6, "I, the Lord, do not change." God is so. Herman Bavinck, a Dutch, contrast between being and becoming marks the difference between the creator and the creature. and know becoming. Hence, the rock. Secondly, God remains the same in his plans. Psalm 11, the counsel stands all. And do we our minds? How often does the government change their minds and make a U-turn of? It happens regularly, for time. But God never changes his plans. Because of his omniscience, you heard this morning, because of God's omniscience, because he already knows everything from the end to the beginning, then never surprises him. Nothing caught by surprise for him then to take another course of action. He already knew. He already knew. And tells us, I am God. There is no other, none like me. Declaring the end from times, things not done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will. And I will bring it. And I will do it. Determined to happen, God will do it. But there is a question, isn't there? Doesn't Scripture show God changing his mind at certain times? Doesn't it? I guess the classic example would Jonah, where he was around Nineveh, having been sent to Nineveh by God, the people there, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And so it's round the of Nineveh calling this out. I don't know what else he said, but certainly that's all recorded. Jonah 3:4, 40 more days will be overthrown. But then people repent their sins. What do you read? When the Lord had turned from the evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. The New Living Translation is obviously clearer. It says, when God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. So how can we say that God is immutable in all his plans when he clearly changes his mind with the people of Nineveh? And there are other such examples like that. For example, with Hezekiah in Isaiah 38, when Isaiah is telling him, going, okay, I'll give you years. 18, where God reconsiders what he was intending to do to a nation based on. Doesn't seem to make sense when situations, and yet God says, I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed. We can be sure about God is consistent in how he acts, whether that's towards good. Change his plans. He doesn't change his plans. Where the situation we do that we change, God acts differently on his unchanging character. And so, for example, in Psalm 18, to the faithful, you, God, show yourself faithful. To those with integrity, you show integrity. To the pure, you show yourself shrewd. Rescue. Or you might say, God reacts to us. It's consistent with how he always. So when we to passages in Scripture where he appears to action on something or another, we have to see the situation, how his attitude presently is, situation as it was then. Apparently grieved when he is sorry over sinful mankind in Genesis chapter 6, or when he's sorry that he made Saul king in 1 Samuel 15, that is Scripture describing attitude at that time, our time. As Saul has changed, as I think it's a matter of us keeping between seeing God as who he is, infinite, truly eternal, truly sovereign, and therefore, yes, he is unchanging. But he relates to us in time. He relates to us in our thank God we change. God is consistent. He acts. Well, thirdly, then, the final aspect of God's immutability we're looking at this evening is that he remains the same in his promises. So, what God has promised, God is never unfaithful to that. Verse 19, God is not man that man. Or has he spoken? What Scripture is, contains and reminds us then, as much it reminds us many of God's precious and great promises to us. Imagine if one day, though, we ever found out that even just one of those promises was suspect. Just one. Only one of those many promises. Consequence, the domino effect, as it were. If we think of the promise, if God changed the terms and conditions of all is promised us in Scripture, what confidence could we have with promise? Promises of God that are in Christ Jesus, yes, amen. It's those promises that help us, that encourage us. They give us the courage to face whatever difficulty. We need the immutability of God. We need it, otherwise the devil would have a field day with each of us. More so than others, yes, but would have us question everything that God has said to us, what God has promised us in his book. But thank God his promise changed throughout our lives eternity. You think of those words Apostle Peter writes, 1 Peter 2, verse 23, you have been born again, he says to the Christians, not of perishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. And the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Same good news tonight, because God's faithfulness hasn't changed. It is great excellence of his faithfulness. You think of what Sarah was because of God's immutability. Hebrews 11, by faith Sarah herself received power. See, even when she was passed, him promised. We need God's immutability. And it's because of his immutability, his unchangeableness, that we're in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, kind of confidence we're to have be what follows and what we heard Malachi say earlier, Malachi 3 verse 6, I the Lord do not change. For you, O Jacob, O children of Jacob, not consumed. I, the Lord, do not, children of Jacob, not consumed. What a thought. To think if the Lord did go back on what he had covenanted to save a people from every nation, language, every people of the world. Might we then be consumed? Might we? But because of God's unchangeableness, then we are not consumed. The Lord is the same as you. Yes, tomorrow, then we can even die with that same resurrection hope we with, that though yet in Christ we live again. We need the immutability of God for such promises like that. Trust God with need in his word, for he is faithful. God is utterly dependent. Our eternity, for our salvation, that what Christ promises us in the good news preached to us will keep. We're used to living in an age of ongoing change. It's to believe in the unchangeableness of God can be really difficult. But our belief or doubt of it can never alter the fact. God is immutable, and so we can rejoice in that glorious truth this evening. We can rejoice at this aspect of God's beauty. Thank him for how dependable he is, trustworthy. If you have Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can trust him. Trust him for your these days and we that God changes, but we also rejoice in the fact that we do change. We do. We can change our minds. Our hearts can be changed. We can be converted. We can be saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we would all perish in hell if we were like in that. So no, we can't say be like God in his unchangeableness. Only he, the creator, is eternal. We are always the created. It is much better for us to say tonight to the Lord, Lord, change me. I want to change. I no longer want to be the way I am. I want to be changed by your word and by your grace. I want to become more and more like your son, Jesus Christ. And again, by his power, he is able to do that. And we praise him for it. Amen. Lord, we thank you for showing to us tonight of what you are like, Lord. We thank you that you're not like us. We thank you, God, that you are above and beyond us, Lord. But we praise you tonight that we can depend upon you. So, Lord, help us to do that. Help us to take you at your word and to take all that you have promised, Lord, as your book tells us. Forgive us when we doubt you, Lord. Forgive us when, because of our changeableness, we one day we are full of confident faith, but the next day we are riddled with doubt. Lord, please forgive us. and fill us afresh with your Spirit for him to encourage us to trust you for everything you've said. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you would be at work in us, transforming us day by day by your grace and power to present us perfect on that last day. We ask in Jesus Christ. Amen.